Right now, we want to welcome in Jessica Fowler. Jessica is newly elected. She is moving from the Board of Selectmen to the Board of Finance. Jessica joins us this morning. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning.
So, congratulations on your election to the Board of Finance.
Thank you.
And I think that's one of the great things about our form of government here in New England is that selectmen come up with ideas and plans. Board of Finance votes on it and approves it or not, and then it all goes back to the people. It's a great process.
I think it's fantastic, and in many ways, I wish that's what would happen nationally. I guess it sort of does come back at the election time, but
yeah, but it, right. Every 4 years is not exactly terrific.
No, not very timely, right, Marshall?
No. Well, congratulations,
and now thank you.
Which it's interesting. We here at Robinhood Radio have broadband. We have broadband at our local access TV station, and we also have broadband at my house because I have to control all the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the highest rate possible. We pay for extra rate. But I and this is why the importance of your meeting coming up on broadband between Robinhood Radio, the TV station, and the outlet I have at my house comes to almost $1,000 a month. Almost $1,000 a month. Now, as a business, you don't mind paying, but it started off, each place being about $350 to $400 a month total.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last 3 years, it has literally skyrocketed.
Yeah.
So that's what makes the meeting that you're holding even more important on Sunday the 17th on broadband internet needs, because now I think it does include the people that get their broadband and their businesses like us here. I think it does include us now, because I think the price range now is commercially so high that it's going to be cost prohibitive to people to keep in their homes.
Right. It's going to be cost prohibitive to people like you who do pay it and need it. So, yes, I agree completely. It's been a long road for broadband in our area. I mean, 5 years ago when I started looking at this with Roberta Willis and Kim Maxwell from Norfolk, it was a lot about educating, and not just ourselves, although Kim was coming at this from a very educated standpoint with his professional background, but also educating our selectmen, educating townspeople, educating muni leaders. And the unfortunate thing, Marshall, is that the way that the state economy has gone has actually in some ways helped us, because people are moving away from Connecticut. There are no young people here. Our connectivity is in the bottom of the barrel compared to other states. What we do with fiber is in the bottom of the barrel compared to other states. So all of this, I think municipal leaders in our area, I mean, statewide too, but just kind of trying to be focused this morning on us, they're looking around going, well, geez, the solution's not coming from the state. The solution's going to have to come from the town. And that's what I'm so happy about with having this fiber forum on Sunday, because the COG has, the Council of Governments, the Northwest Hills Council of Governments, has thrown their support behind us for the past couple of years. We're part, fiber is now part and parcel of the economic development plan for the region. They get it. They understand it. We have to have it. And it's doable. It really is. There's a different ways of doing it, and I think towns are going to have to figure it out themselves in terms of what works for them and what resonates and what their residents want. But we now know, looking at these networks, number one, that we're not going to be getting it very quickly, very fast at all, because we don't have the population density that a Waterbury, New Haven, Hartford has. And number two, that most of these towns in our area, I'm thinking of the six towns in Region 1, but even pushing out further, they have a little bit of money that they can throw towards something like this. And it's so vitally important. It's so needed.
Well, plain and simple, if the internet weren't available like we have it, we wouldn't be able to. There would be no radio station. There would be no local access television. There just wouldn't, because that's the way things are done now. And if you want to bring and have businesses come back into our area, the old-fashioned brick and mortar that you think of is not necessarily going to be there. But if you want businesses to come back into the area and flourish, you're going to need an industrial strength broadband system that's affordable.
Right. And I look at, yes, of course, attracting new businesses is extremely important. I get people who walk up to me all the time who live in Sharon or live in the region and tell me how long it takes to actually upload something. So we're talking about artists, musicians, people who have files with a lot of data in them. Over at UConn Extension, Rich Miner, he does a lot with the agricultural sector in our area. He flies a drone. He'll put it up over a field for a farmer. He'll take a bunch of pictures for them. He'll want to send it back to UConn for analysis. He has to set up the system, leave at night. Then when he comes back in the morning, Marshall, everything will be done and will be sent. So that's the kind of connectivity this gentleman has. And it's just, this is not sustainable. There's no way that this region is going to be able to move forward and be here and be a presence and actually thrive if we can't get this infrastructure in. I mean, we have sewer, we have water, we have electric. Now we need this.
So this meeting, when if people come to this meeting that are sitting out there right now, and let's say they have, internet service, but it's the poor internet service like you're talking about. It's just it's almost like the old dial-up days. They're sitting there listening. There's other people listening that don't have internet service yet. What can they expect when they go to this meeting? That, by the way, the meeting once again is at Sharon Town Hall on broadband internet needs in Sharon at 11 o'clock on November 17th. What can people expect at that meeting? That they'll leave that meeting knowing about?
Well, I think the important thing to know is what could be done, right? So that's what we, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be, and Jocelyn Ayer is going to be running this, but of course I'll be there assisting and helping and jumping in whenever need be. But I think it's important for people to come and get a lay of the land, to understand what's going on legislatively, which is not great in the state of Connecticut. The state of Connecticut is not kind to municipalities when it comes to fiber right now. Even though Lamont is pushing for 5G, he still doesn't seem to, he hasn't seemed to make that connection, Marshall, between the fact that 5G needs more fiber. So I'm very frustrated with all of that, but that's for another show. I think what's important for people to come in, they'll get a good understanding of what's going on statewide, maybe even a little bit more of an understanding about why we need fiber. Because, you know, yes, we think about cost and we think about business, but there's telehealth. I have a meeting in a couple weeks with Denise George at Sharon Hospital. She's just pulling out her hair. I mean, it's just so difficult to try to deliver rural telehealth services out here. And so she wants to sit and chat, and I'm so looking forward to that. But beyond healthcare, educational benefits, business, I think what people need to understand in Sharon is actually how we can go about and do this. So right now in the state of Connecticut, the only way a municipality can get a spot on the polls to put up anything is if they create an electric utility. Yeah,
that's
I'll
amazing.
Let that absorb for a moment.
Yeah. No, it's amazing.
Right. So a private partner could come in and operate it and take the revenues, whether it's solar or wind, but the town, being the utility, would have to own the facility. Now, this actually is not as hard as looking at this, and Kim Maxwell's from Norfolk has done some research on this and worked with an attorney to understand the process, but it does require a two-thirds vote of the town to authorize a municipal vote. So for all the small towns, that means, you know, going to the polls in November. Well, going to the polls next November, nothing else will be going on next year, electorally. Can't imagine this would be hard.
Well, you know, it's interesting, though, because it is doable and it is feasible to be done.
Yep.
Once the project starts, it's going to take a little while to get it all worked out. But I say as a business owner and also as an individual, and I see what people struggle with internet, even if you have internet service, it will sooner or later become really totally not affordable for you to have decent internet service. You can have internet service, but it will be terrible internet service. And the federal government's not going to help because the Net Neutrality Act was taken away. That's also another problem. That is piled on top of a town that has poor internet service. When your broadband doesn't have the money to fight off and buy the broadband with, you're in trouble. So I think these meetings that Northwest Connect and the Council of Governments are involved in are important. People need to understand that the internet is vital for this area, for any future growth.
Absolutely. It is another leg of infrastructure, and people need to start seeing that. I think a lot of people do. It's absolutely necessary. I can tell you in other towns, Falls Village is looking at creating an electric utility. The first selectman, Henry Todd, there, he had a preliminary assessment done with some cost numbers, and I don't want to share those because they're very preliminary, and I don't, who knows, they could go up or down, but I think he's on the right track. He formed an economic development group that's going to create and manage an RFP process and oversee any of the vendors that come in. I think with Falls Village, he's going to have to be looking at, and this is what his assessment came back with, a combined approach using Wi-Fi to reach some of those more remote areas. Henry doesn't want to use taxpayer money for this, so he's looking at some creative ways to have this financed. So I think Falls Village is a town to watch. And the other side of it, we have Norfolk, which really is pushing for a universal service package. So they also want to create an electric utility, but they want to be able to bring a connection to every home. They held a community meeting in October last month. They spent a lot of time organizing for this meeting, which was great because they had really good turnout. They had strong interest. And according to those who organized it, they told me there were absolutely no reservations in the room about the town paying for it themselves. So they'll hold a second meeting the second quarter of 2020, and they want to move ahead with creating the utility and have it on the ballot next November.
Well, all this and more can be talked about on Sunday, November 17th, 11 o'clock at Sharon Town Hall, the Addressing Broadband Internet Needs informational meeting. And people will be able to ask questions at this meeting as well?
Oh, yes.
Well, I think it's time has come. Like I said, I wasn't necessarily a big believer in the state doing it because I just don't think the state can do something like this. But I think Sharon's on the right track here. I really do.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I wish the state could provide more for us. Representative Horn co-sponsored Senate Bill 846 last spring. Which made the municipal gain legislation much more clear in regards to how the towns could use a spot on the pole. And it really spelled out that we could use that spot on the pole for high-speed broadband purposes. Well, it's not enough. It didn't go through. And the Frontiers and the Comcast and the incumbents are suing. So here we go. We're in the battle.
That's it. Jessica, thank you very much, and we'll see everybody there. Take care.
Bye-bye.
That is Jessica Fowler once again this morning. That broadband internet meeting coming up at Sharon Town Hall Sunday, November 17th at 11 a.m.